I were a cop, and I get called out, I stay at Dunkin's. I mean, I'm not getting off that table. I'm going to order another one. Powdered sugar, please.
And now, Handle on the News. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Bill Handel.
And good morning. It is a Monday morning, December 5th, as we start our Monday. How about that? Last week here for me, and then I go on vacation. Then I think it's going to be Wayne, who is going to be here for a couple weeks. I'm back Christmas Day. There you go. All right. Let me say hello to everybody. Good morning, Jennifer Jones-Lee.
Hi, Handel. Thanks again for coming to Smart and Final on Saturday in Capistrano Beach.
Yeah, there was a great Mexican place for lunch just four doors down that has been around for a million years, and they had a mole burrito, which I haven't had. I don't see Wayne. I guess he disappeared.
No, he's right there.
From the screen.
Okay. Does everybody else see me?
I see you, Wayne. Yeah, and you're handsome as ever. Good morning. Yeah.
You're so full of it, but good morning.
All right, we're having
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Now, when you say you never had it before, you've never had a mole burrito before?
Oh, I've had a mole burrito before, but they're very rare to find a mole burrito. You know, very rare. All right. Good morning, Alex.
He did say he'd never had it.
There you go. All right. I see everybody now. And Tyler, good morning.
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. That's everybody here. All right. Let me see what's going on. I did visit Jennifer at the Spartan Final. Very lovely. And then there was that woman who was absolutely terrific. She came and she cried, actually.
Joyce. I remember her. Her name was Joyce.
She had said that her husband passed away 4 years ago or four months ago.
Yeah.
And that the last 4 months of his life, he listened to our show and was really enjoyable. And she was blind. Also, she had gone blind. I knew that because I was taking my hand in front of her face, you know, waving it back and forth, and she didn't respond at all. So it was pretty clear.
I want to tell you guys that he's joking. He is not joking. I whacked him because he was literally holding his hand in front of Joyce's face.
That's true. And she noticed how much weight I had lost since last time. And I said, that's because your peripheral vision is gone, right?
He did. Yeah. This woman is crying.
She's lovely.
And this is how Handel treats her.
She was lovely. And then she leaves.
He probably loved it.
Yeah. And as she's leaving, I go, you're not driving, are you?
He did. God's honest truth. And you know what? She laughed. And why? She was holding a dog that she brought in a sweater.
Yeah. Maybe it was, you know what? It was small, but maybe it was a seeing eye dog. I don't know.
God bless America.
Okay. Here we go. We've got a lot to cover today. Tomorrow's the big Georgia race. A lot of stuff going on in Ukraine. We have a new police chief in LA County. Governor Newsom starts his campaign to punish oil companies. Let's go communist. And probably one of the greatest tragedies of all time, the Griffith Park Pony Ride's been around for 70 years. I used to go there as a kid. Shut down. Done. The animal activists have shut that ride down because because the animals were abused. They would go around in circles. What do we do every morning? Yeah, you know, we walk around in circles. Are they shutting us down? They are not. All right, guys, you ready to do it?
Do it.
Handle on the News on a Monday morning. Oh, real quickly, in terms of the numbers for Katarina's Club, we're already north of $1 million, $1,000,018, and that's because 9 or 9:30, I'm going to announce more numbers. Michelle will talk about what came out of Smart and Final this morning, and Wendy's, two of our partners, which are terrific. Okay, and then last night I went to Bruno's because I was in that area.
I noticed that.
Yes.
And if people would like to see your hot outfit that you were wearing, go to Instagram at Bill Handel Show. There you are. It's three men. Two of them are quite handsome and seem to be great guys, and you're also in the photo.
Right. And My appetizers were terrific because I went around the restaurant and found little bits of pieces of which people had not eaten. So just grab a bit and you have a very widespread array of appetizers. All right, guys, are you ready to do it? Handle on the news, Jennifer, Wayne, and me. Lead story, new sheriff. We have a new sheriff in town, Bob Luna, sworn in on Saturday. And I'll talk more about him at 7 o'clock. What kind of sheriff is he going to be? How different is he going to be than Sheriff Villanueva? Lots and lots different. At least he says so. So I'll talk about what the promises are. And today he actually starts. Today he shows up at the office, the sheriff's office. And hey, did Villanueva have a cleaning crew come in, you think, to clean the office? I wouldn't have. It was a tough campaign. I just would have left a bunch of trash there.
You would.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, so last night it was the Kennedy Center Honors, and you had actor George Clooney, singers Amy Grant, Gladys Knight, composer Tanya Leone, and rock group U2 were all the honorees last night. First they went to the White House, and then they all went to the Kennedy Center Honors. But one person who was in the audience of that is Paul Pelosi. And this is the first time that we've seen him publicly since he was attacked in his home in San Francisco by a guy with a hammer who was asking, where's Nancy?
Hasn't he just been named? No, he hasn't. I'm sorry. That was the vice president's husband. It was just named to a post. Never mind. An anti-Semitism conference, I think, if I'm not mistaken. See if I have that one right. All right. An anti-Semitism conference dealing with anti-Semitism, yes. Anti-Semitism or pro-anti-Semitism.
I don't think it's that.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I'm doing a negative when I should be doing a double negative. You're absolutely right.
Well, about 40,000 people in Moore County, North Carolina, lost power after somebody or some buddies opened fire at electrical substations. The sheriff there saying it's a criminal act. And there was some thought for a moment, just a moment, that it could have had something to do with some protests against a drag time story hour, because a woman decided to get on Facebook, and she had been connected to the protests, and she got on Facebook and said, I know why the power's out. And that made people think, but it turned out she didn't know anything and was full of crap. So they're not really sure who they're looking for, but they know what happened, and they're working furiously to get the power back on.
Do you wonder how much the attackers knew about the system where gunfire could take out a system for that long? Because there's a lot going on, and you don't know exactly where it would be this kind of damage. That's what I was thinking. And how long was the power off?
It's still off.
Wow.
For well over 30,000 people.
Okay.
They said it could take days to get it all back. I wonder if a lot of that substation equipment was severely damaged by the gunfire. I don't think they're saying that it was done on purpose, like a calculated plan. We want to take the power out, and how do we do it? Why don't we go shoot up the substation? Because they're talking about it as vandalism. So maybe just some yahoos
just
decided
it
would be fun to shoot at the substation, right. And maybe they didn't even realize.
And just hit it at the right place, I guess.
Man, think of all those people who need, who have oxygen pumps.
Yeah. Well, most of those people have backup battery, I would think.
They're getting a lot of emergency calls from people who are on oxygen. And
when my father died, and he wanted to die at home instead of at the hospital, and so he needed a ventilator, he needed oxygen, and I made damn sure he had oxygen tanks there that for at least 3 days, exactly with battery power, exactly for that reason.
Yeah. All right. It's just a horrible end to a story that started on Friday in North Texas. There was an Amber Alert for a 7-year-old girl, and all they knew is that this little girl, Athena Strand, had disappeared Wednesday from her dad's home in Paradise, Texas. And now they have learned and charged a FedEx driver with not only kidnapping, but murder. Her body was found on Friday night because of a tip that I guess investigators got earlier in the day. This guy was a FedEx contract driver who had delivered a package to Strand's home about the time that the little girl disappeared. Investigators believe that the little girl died within an hour or so of being taken from the home. And apparently the guy has confessed to the crime. So many questions now going toward FedEx. And all they're saying is, hey, this is a third party who hired this guy. You know, we have our own vetting process, but they have their own vetting process. And this was a very rural area. So there are questions as to, was the little girl home alone? Which is not uncommon in a rural area. I mean, nobody comes down the street for a while. You live down a, you know, big dirt road. They don't think, though, that this guy had ever delivered there before. And so they don't think that this was premeditated. They think it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing.
You know, you wonder, you know, how do you wrap your head around this?
I know, you can't.
I mean, just a little girl. I'd like to know, did he have any kind of a record? We don't know what kind of a rap sheet he had. Was he in danger? Was this just one of those random things where he just went crazy at that moment? But either way, how do you wrap your head around something like this? I just don't get it.
Maybe it'll be easier to wrap your head around this, although it's no less unpleasant. There's a guy under federal indictment for sex trafficking of minors and traveling in interstate commerce to engage in criminal sexual activity. He is a self-styled cult leader who claims that all of these women, including some as young as age 9, are his wives. They're also trying to figure out if he married his own daughter.
Oh. Well,
he has about 50. My head around. Nope.
No, I can wrap my head around because this is a religious fruitcake, and
I think that's a front for what he is a child molester.
Well, he happens to be a child molester, no matter what.
Hiding behind
maybe
Samuel Bateman. He has about 50 followers and over 20 wives, and many of those are minors. And that is we know this. He was actually indicted back in September, but we're getting details now. Because the affidavit that the case agent files for probable cause was just filed on Friday.
Does this remind you of Warren Jeffries? But I think the youngest wife that Warren Jeffries took on was 14, I believe. And he's sitting in prison, either Texas or Utah right now. I think Utah. And he's there 20 years for doing exactly this. And he still runs the church.
Yeah.
The fundamentalist Mormon church, which, of course, they've disavowed him completely. And he's still, he's in prison and running the church, except he has thousands of followers. Crazy people.
This next story, just for anybody who was planning on robbing banks or credit unions, I'm trying to help you out here by giving you the what not to do's in this next story that got this guy caught. You're welcome. So 14 bank and credit unions have been robbed in Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, and New Hampshire. And investigators believe the robberies were all committed by the same person between September of last year and August of this year. So there was a guy who would go into the banks and he would say that he has a gun. Don't call 911. Don't set off any alarms. Don't be a hero. Well, in one case, this brilliant guy, Taylor Dizek, I don't know, apparently... Not only did he rob a bank, but he removed some of the paper money wrappers from the money he stole and then discarded them right there in the bank that he allegedly robbed. Hey, look, we got your fingerprints, buddy.
And? DNA.
Sure. So then this dingling goes to a casino and he's sitting there at the casino and he's drinking a Red Bull at the MGM in Springfield, Massachusetts. FBI agents had been watching this guy because they had his DNA and his fingerprints and they knew who this guy was. So they went over and retrieved the can of Red Bull with the black straw that the guy had been drinking from, and DNA on the straw matched the DNA on the discarded money wrappers, and he was arrested.
He was the best investigator on the whole case because he provided so much evidence.
Now, had he been drinking a monster drink, would the same thing have happened? And I don't know the answer to that.
The answer is yes.
So thank you very much for giving me that information. Greatly appreciated.
Of course. A hospital patient in Mannheim, Germany, has been arrested for repeatedly switching off the oxygen machine of her roommate because it was bothering her, the noise.
Yeah, well, they are noisy.
She turned it off because it was too loud. They came and turned it back on. She turned it off again. They kept having to resuscitate the other woman. Oh, and so now this woman is, instead of in a loud hospital room, she is in, I'm guessing, an even louder jail cell.
Could be. I mean, again, remember I told you about my dad, and we brought a ventilator and oxygen machine to the house because he decided he was going to die at home? Loud as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are loud. I can see this.
But I'm guessing you didn't walk over and turn it off.
No.
Occasionally.
No. I mean, thoughts, but no.
Mm.
No. I mean, I wanted to sleep, and it. All right, just let's move on.
Utah and Penn State. We will see you at the Rose Bowl game. Utah defeated USC on Friday. Penn State was selected after Big Ten champ Michigan and runner-up Ohio State made it to the college football playoff. So that leaves the third place Penn State to play in the Rose Bowl game. So now
and
we know.
You said, we will see you, Utah, yeah, and Penn State, and they will see each other for the first time.
Oh, good point.
In this game.
Mm-hmm.
Man, how crowded is it? Because whenever you see a USC or UCLA play, I mean, it's the Rose Bowl. And those are the days where you used to have 100,000 people in the game, and they would be so crammed full. It was standing room only anyway. And so when's the last time a local team went there? Because there are, I don't know the answer. And has there been a UCLA-USC game?
For the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, just curious.
I don't think so.
All right. Just asking. Anyway, so we'll see how crowded it is. You don't want to go to...
This may be the last Rose Bowl that is like this.
Yeah.
A meeting between the Pac-12 champs and the Big Ten, because they're going to become part of the playoff structure.
And I'm assuming that flea market is not at the same time that's at the Rose Bowl.
No, they do try to work their calendar.
Got it.
This may be the most recent time this has happened, but apparently it's not the first time it's happened. Friday evening, outside a home in Woodland Hills, a 2-year-old is attacked by a coyote. And now the people in the area are saying, this is something that is unfortunately happening from time to time.
Yeah, and they're getting
California
more aggressive.
Fish and Wildlife say they got several calls regarding an aggressive coyote in neighborhoods.
Yeah, they're getting They're getting a lot more aggressive coyotes. Coyotes in my neighborhood, there's more of them, and it's just dangerous. It's just I can't imagine they're starting to drag away a kid. See the video of the kid being dragged away, because there's mountains, there's hills in those areas. People are moving, although I don't think there's been many developments lately going in those areas, but there are plenty of people up there. It's crazy. It really is. And you can't shoot those coyotes. You can't kill them.
You have to have a special dispensation from like Fish and Wildlife, and you have to be able to prove that they're a threat to your, I think.
Yeah,
your
but how do you do that? It's like getting a concealed weapons permit in L.A. County. Coyotes attacking your kid. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I have to get special dispensation. I have to pull a permit. I'm sure it isn't easy, as opposed to just you kill them.
Yeah.
Coyotes are vermin. They're just big rats.
They sing like crazy.
Oh, they howl. They howl. And they're very smart. Move in packs. And they're just,
My new house, it's like, literally, it's like a cacophony at night. It's crazy.
And you can't have little dogs, too. You got little ones.
I know.
Your dogs are hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, Jay. Don't call Daisy an hors d'oeuvre.
Well, ask a coyote. And that's not me being funny either.
Oh, I know. I know. I had a really quick story. I had a coyote. Uses appetizers, an entire litter of kittens.
Isn't that lovely, huh? I mean, yeah. My daughter has the big dog. At least Kendall is 75 pounds.
Yeah.
And Kendall's dog, Vinny, is also about 75 pounds.
Oh, good. All right. Well, they're safe.
Yeah.
Here's a crazy story. I don't know if you've seen this video. I watched it and was like, God bless mom. So there's a girl who goes out and waiting for the school bus. She's 5 years old. and her name is Riley, and she's in Ashford, Connecticut, just standing there waiting for the school bus. All of a sudden, a raccoon randomly jumps on this little girl's leg, and the mom, all of a sudden, Logan is the mom's name, hears her daughter screaming, and she thought, oh gosh, maybe she slammed her finger in the door, something like that. She goes out there and sees this raccoon attacking her daughter. Her daughter's kicking her leg, you know, trying to get the raccoon off. And the mom just grabs that raccoon, like, by the scruff of the neck and just tosses it. I mean, flung this thing across the yard. And the woman said once her daughter was inside, you can see, like, you know, that she, the animal can kind of be seen waddling away. But the mom says, I would, honestly, everything happened so quickly, I wouldn't have known if there wasn't video from it. And it looks like maybe it's their, you know, security camera or something that caught it. But crazy, scary story.
Yeah, just these animals. Oh, here's another one.
This has been going on for over a year up in Sacramento, a war between postal carriers and other delivery drivers and wild turkeys who apparently roam the area and attack them. The phone calls started coming in October of last year about these wild turkeys attacking people. And the Department of Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife, did send people out there to try to find and capture these aggressive wild turkeys, but just couldn't do it. They couldn't find them. And so the attacks have been ongoing. And that's what's going on up there. You do not want to be a delivery driver anywhere around there.
And this area is not like a super rural area. The Arden Arcade area in Sacramento, it's highly populated.
Yeah, and this turkey, this mail carrier just beat this turkey to death being attacked.
Yeah, this one mail, one incident, he had a stick, and he literally killed the turkey.
Yeah.
I mean, the good news is he saved some money for Thanksgiving. I mean, that's true.
Wayne, can we tell handle? Wayne and I were doing a deep dive into when the last time a California team was in the Rose Bowl, and Wayne found out it was...
Well, USC played Penn State in 2016.
Okay, who won?
USC has made many appearances in the Rose
Bowl. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Who won
that game? Penn State, 2016?
USC.
Oh, I don't remember.
It doesn't matter.
I don't remember. But what we were also saying, too, is this is Penn State's second appearance in the Rose Bowl in 6 years.
Okay.
Well, because the way – it's not that 7 years, I guess. Crazy, because the way the Rose Bowl has been structured, all you got to do – first of all – it's a small group of teams that are even eligible. You got to be in the Pac-12 or the Big Ten, and all you got to do is win either the Pac-12 or the Big Ten. So Penn State is a very dominant team in the Big Ten. USC, a dominant team in the Pac-12. So you because of that, you see the same teams over and over.
All right, what you will not see over and over are the little ponies going around the Griffith Park Pony Ride. 70 years. Those little ponies have been doing their thing, but you had a lot of animal activists along with some board members of the LA City Council that said, we don't want this anymore because we think that it's not humane to the animals. And because of that, apparently the contract was not renewed. And according to the owner of the Griffith Park Pony Rides, no more as of December 21st. The concession contract expires, and that will be the last day for the Griffith Park Pony Rides.
And there will be something else there.
Yeah, I remember as a kid going there. I mean, how many of us who grew up in Los Angeles don't? You know, at one point, here's a little bit of a factoid, an interesting factoid. The pony rides and the carousel that were there are actually responsible for Disneyland. And how is that possible? Because Walt Disney used to take his daughters to the pony ride, and he had already owned the Disney studios and was doing cartoons, etc. But he would see the pony rides and he would see the carousel where the kids were on. He goes, we have to do better than this. There's another way of doing this. And came up with Disneyland.
Interesting that the owner didn't possibly try and use that as some sort of historical site evidence.
Couldn't have been,
you can't shut me down because
except the animal.
Oh,
come on, compared to the animal activists and the power they have, even close.
Some interesting allegations coming out of the lawsuits against Ticketmaster filed by Taylor Swift fans who were denied tickets to her upcoming tour. One of them is, of course, that Ticketmaster is a monopoly and that they wield too much power because they have exclusive agreements with so many large venues and that there aren't very many venues that can hold the kind of a crowd that a Taylor Swift would attract that aren't obligated to have the tickets sold through Ticketmaster. But here's the other one that is fascinating if they can prove this. Ticketmaster set up that verified fan sale process where you would register that would give you an opportunity to go in there and buy some tickets. Mm-hmm. They are claiming that hackers and bots were able to actually remove the tickets from their online shopping cart.
Could be.
Wow.
Snatch them right out of there. And they all, of course, they ended up on the secondary market where Ticketmaster also gets a piece of that.
Yeah, now
they're also accusing them of double profiting on the same tickets.
Okay, I was about to say something until you mentioned that. I did not know that they do it. They have a double dip. I thought Ticketmaster would simply get the face value of the initial buy plus their percentage. And based on that, where's the fraud? Because they're just getting face value plus what they make. The tickets are sold out. So where's the intentional? Where's the deception here? But if it's a second hit that they get and they have to go through Ticketmaster, scalpers sell through Ticketmasters?
Ticketmaster is one outlet. I mean, there are many other secondary.
No, I understand, but
outlets,
I did not know that. I know there's StubHub and a bunch of others, but Ticketmaster sells secondary tickets? I didn't know that. Yep.
I didn't know that either.
And if that's the case, there is no fixing antitrust violation, intentional deception, fraud, because they're just, you know, the bots are coming in. Negligence, certainly. But nothing else. Put that aside.
Apple and Amazon are going back on Twitter. So you know there were a whole bunch of companies, General Mills, Audi. The minute that Elon Musk took over Twitter, they all bailed, or at least paused, I guess, their advertising on Twitter. Well, now Amazon and Apple say that they plan to resume some advertising on Twitter, although there are people who argue Amazon actually never stopped. But Apple for sure is getting back in the game. And according to Twitter, it has offered the biggest advertiser incentive ever. And this, of course, is right after Elon Musk takes it and people start bailing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, hey, look how great it is and cheap it is to advertise on Twitter.
Yeah, I have a question regarding that. And that is, and this has to do with Elon Musk basically inviting almost everybody back on and then changing his mind, backtracking a little bit. And that is when he said Donald Trump could go back on, and Trump said, I'm not interested. I'm staying on my own new platform. Trump outdid himself with now his version of tweeting that the Constitution should be suspended outright and put him back into office. Let's get rid of the Constitution to put me back in the office. And you know what the Republican leadership is saying about that? Nothing. Hey, we're okay with that. Let's unravel the Constitution. This is crazy. I mean, I know I'm taking a tangential turn here, but completely crazy. I just can't believe it. Cannot believe it. But anyway, so we'll see what happens with Twitter. I think Elon Musk is going to lose his shirt. Just lose billions and billions of dollars. He went out and borrowed, I think, $13 billion. It's not like he had he took $13 billion out of his bank account. Okay, I lost some money. He's got to pay it all back plus interest. Wonder how much the interest was on the $13 billion that he borrowed. I'm sure it wasn't 3.2%.
Hey, can we finish with number 16?
Yes. All right. You go to the ATM. How would you like it if displayed alongside your photo, your bank account balance for anyone in the world to see? That's the concept behind this art installation that came out at Art Basel Miami Beach Museum. It's an annual prestigious art fair. And so there's this guy or this artist, I guess, who put together this art installation. ATM takes your photo and then next to it displays and ranks your bank account.
Yeah, it's a leaderboard of your bank account.
Yeah, I know. It's an art piece. I mean, obviously, they're not doing it, but you can do anything with an ATM that takes your picture and has access to your account.
But it is your real information.
I mean, that's kind of crazy. But they can do it. You can, with an ATM machine, you can do anything. You know, you can do an exam, a physical exam to see if you have a hernia. You know, the metal hand comes out and says, you know, turn left and cough. All right, never mind. That's a visual. Coming up, Robert Luna has been sworn in. We have a new sheriff. What kind of sheriff? I'll talk about that. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.